It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Americans are changing their spending, and credit card companies are feeling it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Americans are paying off their cards. Reports released by the major credit card companies show fewer customers defaulting or making late payments. Here to talk about the economics behind those numbers, live from WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Gregory Warner. Hi, Gregory.
Hi.
What are the big card companies saying about their customers' habits?
Well, they're saying two things. One is the rate of late payments are down. That's been trending down all year. And also this month, the rate of defaults are down. That's when you haven't paid in 6 months and the bank cancels your card and writes you off as a loss. Now, part of this is seasonal. The last of the tax refund checks get cashed. People pay off their cards before we ride that long slope down toward Christmas and holiday shopping. But this is more than the usual summer bump.
So late payments and defaults down. Does that mean people are paying off their cards on time?
Well, it means, first of all, that the number of people who have credit cards has shrunk. Defaults peaked in January through March of this year. About one out of every 10 cardholders got dumped off the books. At the same time, credit card companies have gotten more skittish about who they mail the new card offer letters to. But yes, those customers who remain are reducing their debt, credit card debt most of all, and they're also spending a lot less.
Yeah, so what does the reduced debt and spending mean for the card industry?
Well, these companies have been in retreat since 2008, burned by a lot of non-payments, and now they may be ready to go nosing after customers again, because obviously the more we spend, the more they earn in fees. They want us to be responsible, but, you know, not too responsible.
Right. Marketplace's Gregory Warner. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Now, when you think of taxis, you might think of white-knuckled rides in the back of some big yellow car bouncing off some other big yellow cars. But a new analysis of major crashes in New York City, those between cars and pedestrians, shows a different picture. From the Marketplace Transportation Desk at WNYC, Colin Campbell reports on who New Yorkers should really be afraid of.
Khalid Mahmoud's yellow cab has paid his bills for the last 6 years, so he's not surprised that new data shows New York cabbies are rarely responsible for hitting people.
We don't want to lose our license, so we are very responsible driver, you know.
City transportation officials reported this week that cab drivers caused just 13% of crashes in which pedestrians are seriously hurt or killed. The data, 7,000 recent crashes, points to a new source, men. Male drivers are behind the wheel in 4 out of 5 of these kind of collisions, and they're most likely to be driving their own car, not a taxi, truck, or bus. Men are also most likely to be the ones hit. These injuries and deaths cost the New York economy about $1.4 billion a year in lost income. In New York, I'm Colin Campbell for Marketplace.
Now let's take a look at this morning's numbers. Stocks in Europe are up more than 0.5% this morning, and for the most part, Asian markets rose as well. In New York yesterday, it was a lazy summer day. The Dow floated there like a lily pad on a pond, drifting down a mere point to 10,302.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
Another measure of the economy comes out today when the Federal Reserve reports on industrial production for July. Production was probably higher because a heat wave on the East Coast kept utilities pumping out power for air conditioners. Heat waves are always in part a financial story because the people they hurt the most are generally the ones who cannot afford to escape the weather. Author Edward P. Cohn has written about the economics and politics of heat waves in a new book called Hot Time in the Old Town. Edward, welcome to Marketplace.
Thank you very much.
You chronicle the heat wave of 1896, which killed more than 1,000 people. It also helped a young Teddy Roosevelt become president because he stood up and said being poor in New York City shouldn't be a death sentence.
That's right. There was actually an ICE trust established in the city, and Roosevelt set about trying to bust the trust by giving away free ICE to the poor of the Lower East Side.
And it was the poor that really got hit by these temperatures, right?
Absolutely. The average victim was a working-age male manual laborer, an immigrant probably living in the tenement, and the tenement itself was the last nail in the coffin for hundreds of New Yorkers.
Paint a picture for us of how the poor were living, especially living through those temperatures and humidity.
Yeah, that's right. It's not just that there wasn't, of course, air conditioning or electric refrigeration. The living and working conditions were so different 100 years ago. Most New Yorkers, of course, weren't stockbrokers and lawyers. They were manual laborers working 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, and going home to their stifling, suffocating, squalid tenements where during the heat wave, the temperature could easily reach 120 degrees, like living inside a pizza oven.
Let's forward to today, Edward. We still have heat waves, obviously. How far have we come in protecting the poorest people?
I don't think we've come very far. Look at the 1995 Chicago heat wave, killed 700 people. Look what's happening in Russia and Moscow now. We hear a lot from Russia about the fires, and we see the dramatic images of the smoke. We tend to forget that heat still remains today the number one natural disaster killer in the United States.
The book is Hot Time in the Old Town, The Great Heat Wave of 1896 and the Making of Theodore Roosevelt. Edward P. Cohn, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, Lynn Rosenthal walked into a Manhattan Starbucks on Sunday and ordered a plain bagel. The barista's response was, "Would you like butter or cheese on that?" Rosenthal, who is an English professor, was not interested in a list of things she didn't want, so she simply repeated, "Plain bagel." The barista refused to serve her, and according to the New York Post, police were called. Rosenthal says she thinks Starbucks terminology is stupid, and she blames the barista for turning the dispute into a big deal. Not a grande deal, not a venti deal, just a plain big deal. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. You know, we're doing a podcast, a midday update podcast to keep you posted through the day. You can download that at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.